This episode of AetherStream is brought to you by Aetherflow Media. We would not be able to create content like this without the support of our amazing patrons.
Welcome back to AetherStream, guys. Actually, today we're going to be doing something a little different here. We're going to actually be doing a subject that Enki, actually, you did come up with the name, right?
Beyond Aether.
Wow. I'm only botching things.
Wishing I hadn't. Like, looking over the script, I'm like, why would you have done this?
It's too late now.
Yep. Yeah, it is too late now.
It is too late. But joining us today, we have Dylan Thorne, Croatoan. Not Elitibus, by the way, just Croatoan. And
oh. Are you sure about that?
We're talking about our real life encounters, so yes.
I mean, I guess.
Or maybe I sided with him finally.
Nah. Absolutely not.
You can't. No, I'm sorry. You just don't have it in you to be that evil. You don't. I'm sorry.
Well, at least somebody believes I'm not that evil.
Somebody.
Anyways, so today's subject is something a little personal for all of us. So we're going to be hitting some highs. We're going to be hitting some lows. We hope you guys do enjoy this because this is something that we're experimenting with. And whew,
it could go tits up.
Yes, it could go boats up. Anyways, so like I said, it is called Beyond Eorzea. But today's subject is called A Source of Escape, as it is almost a fitting time for what is going on in our real life worlds.
Everybody's on the internet.
Yep, everybody's on the internet, getting away from Karens and their hogging of FaceTime.
Don't make me mad about the Karens on Facebook.
We speak not of them.
Yes, we speak not of them.
The Karen.
I don't even know where to start, and this is all Enki's little baby, so I'm going to let Enki actually pick where we start on this.
Ooh. Okay, so we all know what escapism is. It's when you absorb yourself in something to ignore something else, basically. So if you are, say you've got stress at work, you go and you work out like religiously every single day, and that is your source of escape from, you know, a humdrum aspect of, you know, your life. Or it could just be a stressful aspect or any kind of aspect, really. You can escape from anything. It's not always negative. It can also be positive. You know, you're trying to remove yourself from a particular situation so you can not think about it for a while. It's not necessarily have to be a bad thing. I mean, I hope that would make sense. To start with this whole tangled ball of yarn, we're gonna be the cats, we're gonna attack it. Escapism in gaming ranges from, you know, playing to escape something in your life like work or whatever. It can also extend to leaving behind things like trauma, and there's a huge range of situations in which people, you know, may choose to use video games to escape. And currently the opinions on whether or not using games to do that is healthy, kind of, it varies. Like, people aren't exactly sure whether it's a good thing, a bad thing. Depending on who you talk to, they're going to have different opinions. So what I'm asking you guys today is, what is your opinion on it? Do you think using video games to escape is necessarily healthy for us? Is it good for us? Is it bad for us? Your thoughts.
Oof. Well, I mean, in a way, it could be a double-edged sword, like anything in real life, honestly. In a way, yes, I do see it as a good way for people to escape, mostly because I have done it a couple times. And yeah, I felt good about, you know, going and hanging out with people that I enjoy hanging out with on MMOs. But at the same time, you know, there are rough days that I've come on to hang out with those people and, you know, they're not on. Can't force them to be on. And, you know, you kind of get left with a spot where you don't even know what to do. So, like I said, it's kind of a double-edged sword depending if it's an MMO or solo game.
And what parts of it you're dependent on, yeah.
So,
okay, Dylan, you're up. Come on, hit me with the hot fastball.
I'm gonna go last.
You want to go last? Okay.
I'm going to go last.
Cry, but I guess it's your turn. You got to go. I'm sorry, man. Your time has come.
I mean, all right. Let's do this. So, yeah, it is definitely a ball of yarn. I'm going to confess that from the get-go. So if I get off topic, if I spread out, you know, this is I'm piecing together the feelings as it goes. This is all impromptu. So please bear with me, listeners. But
I got the squirt bottle ready.
In my opinion, right, the first thing I thought of when I thought about this question was, do you consider video games an art form? Because essentially, and this debate's been going on longer, maybe longer, probably around the same time as the concept of escapism, what is art to you, right? And what do you experience in life that you are able to find bound within the written word in your favorite book or in your favorite painting or in your favorite song even? In the ways that we've developed since, and you know, ancient times, since the Egyptians, maybe even later, where we expressed ourselves through art, do you consider video games part of this? And if you do, then there shouldn't be anything wrong with escapism, because you're giving a chance, you're giving yourself a chance as a person to find meaning through the game, and the game is art. You're doing nothing different than if you're writing a book or if you were listening to a song or if you're watching a movie, you know. And I think what causes a lot of people to have problems with it is because of its time consumption. It does take a lot of time away. You know, sometimes you'll get into it and before you know it, 5 hours are gone. Most of my time. Yeah, like I don't know what it is, but I actively do have to avoid logging into Final Fantasy at some times, because as soon as I hit that login button or that play button, that's it for the next several hours. Like, it just draws me in deep, right? So I have to set play times, you know, I have to set schedules for myself for that. But that's my question back to the listeners. And in my opinion, that's how I define it. I define video games as an art form. So for me, I think it's a great thing and something that should be used to escape from stress and be able to help express yourself.
Okay, so Dylan, you wanted to go last. So I guess for me, I agree on a lot of those points as far as it is absorbing yourself in what has arguably become, you know, an art form of, you know, this age. You know, video games tell extremely complex stories and people cannot help but get absorbed in them. Like, all of us have probably spent hours playing some video game or another and just gotten so absorbed and so excited about the story. I mean, we all log in on patch day and go, ooh, what's the new shiny thing that we're going to get this time? You know, what are Alizé and Alfano up to this week? It's like binge watching something on Netflix that you really, really love. And while I do agree that it is a good thing, you bringing up the whole scheduling thing kind of, to me, says, you know, occasionally it can make you run away with it. Like, you're away with the fairies for ages, mm-hmm. and you need to exercise some form of self-restraint before it becomes potentially, you know, destructive. Like, if you pour, like, you always hear these stories about kids who won't get off the computer, like, they're on WoW, like, 24 hours a day, yeah. and they yeah. barely move.
Precisely.
It can become destructive. It's a good thing, but like Tilp said, it is a double-edged sword. It is both good and bad, depending on how much you let that habit, you know, run away with you.
Yeah, if I say real fast, I want to say it's all about balance. You always have to, no matter what it is.
Okay, Litimus. Got you again this week.
Ah, not fair. Okay, fine. I'll take it. That was good. That was actually really good. But it is essentially about balancing light and darkness. You can't have too much of one. There's too much of a good thing. There's too much of a bad thing. That's how it's always been in Final Fantasy XIV. And it's the same way in real life. You can enjoy the game, yes, but you can also have too much of it. You can lose yourself in that game and you can hurt yourself. I don't even need to tell you the story, but Final Fantasy XI's Absolute Virtue was a very bad time for that game.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, just to think about that. So I'll give it to Dylan now.
So I would agree with what Inky said and with what Crow said as far as there need to be balance. Thinking about it more from not personal, Dylan, and basically what I like to do just myself, but also stepping back and thinking about it, I guess, more clinically, is escapism can be a very good thing. There's definitely a lot of mental conditions in which the brain will actually force your consciousness to escape, such as severe, you know, psychological trauma, other types of incidents where, you know, you may actually just, your brain takes a holiday, we'll say. And, you know, for example, children who have suffered certain types of abusive trauma, they will escape and sometimes they just kind of shut down. And so then you have somebody who actually works with them and will do role playing with them in order to help draw them back out to recover from that trauma. So in that, escapism is really great. However, and this is probably where I'm going to get a little bit of hate, is where video games can become addictive. And I'm not saying so much as that they become addictive just because they're video games and because somebody on Facebook said that they're addictive. Yeah. The reason they're addictive is what makes something addictive is not by somebody pointing at it and say, oh my God, that's like a drug. It's by what it causes people to do, or what people, common behaviors, negative behaviors that happens with people who become almost dependent on the game, where it interferes with their daily life, where it causes problems such as lack of sleep, differences in diet, appetite, mood changes, things that you would commonly associate with a chemical dependency. And there has been evidence to show that video games in certain situations can do that. But so can books. So can watching TV. So can gambling. So can, you know, a million other activities. It's about what you do. You let it control your life, or are you controlling it? Are you controlling the amount of time that you spend with it? Can you, like, there's the old joke that, you know, I can walk away from it anytime I want. Can you really actually do that? So in terms of that, you know, there's definitely a need for a balance. However, overall, I think escapism is really a good thing. I know for me personally, you know, whenever I've been going through a difficult time in my life, it just sometimes becomes all just too much to process at once. I'm not a person who can just deal with it all at once. I need to take it in bite-sized pieces. So I, you know, will be playing a video game and my mind will be mostly captured by that, but I'll still in kind of the background be processing little bits and pieces of that. And I'm able to cope a lot better because otherwise, like, I just become a bawling. Yeah, I become overwhelmed. I become like a bawling mess. There's also the fact that I think MMO communities specifically, for certain people, allow a different type of escapism. For example, I myself, in probably like the last, 15 years, I've moved 14 times.
Oh.
So it's one of those things that as an adult, like, it can be hard enough once you graduate from college to find friends to begin with. As an adult after that, it's like freaking impossible. So it has been kind of the way that I've developed my circle of friends that I can take with me. Because otherwise, like, it kind of becomes really like lonely and difficult when you're moving so often. And I know that there's been a couple of people I've talked to, specifically people who are either members themselves or have spouses in the military, where that's how they keep in contact with family and friends. Yeah. So they're kind of escaping from, you know, some of the burdens of being associated with the military.
And being an adult in general. Oh, being an adulting is tough. Oh, you did hit us with a fastball. A hot fastball.
That's why I want to go last.
Okay. So, I mean, just to take a short moment to talk about adulting, holy blessed the 12 and every single deity in the planet. No one told me.
Nobody tells you how to adopt. You just kind of have to do it.
Anytime I hear like an eager nephew complain about homework and how difficult it is,
I would die for homework right now. I would just that casual, oh, hey, I went to school, met my friends constantly, got what, like maybe 3 math problems and I got to do at home and I get fed, you know, like I just, I'm just, oh man, no one preps you for adulthood.
Listen, hey, little gremlins, just you wait.
You get fed. Okay. Let's just dwell on that for a sec. You know, you don't have to make your own food. You know how hard that is sometimes?
Laundry. And stuff.
The dreaded taxes.
And then when you get older, let's be honest, when you get older, no matter what, like, I mean, I know that your parents and your friends are there for you, but there is nothing like when you were a kid and something really crappy happens in your day where you can run to one of your parents and bawl on them. That crap is over when you become an adult. Yeah.
They're like, get over it. That's how it is. It's like,
suck it up. Welcome to the real world. Let me play the world's littlest violin for you.
And it's like, I would have been fine if someone would have warned me, but you know, like, where's the TSA to adulthood? Where's the gate check? Where's the nice people who
make sure you go? Where's the pamphlet?
Yeah, where's the pamphlet?
It doesn't exist because, let's be honest, if it did, most people wouldn't make it past.
You know what? We'll take, I can't fight that.
I'm including myself in that. I would have been like, no, you're going to have to throw me
over. No, I'm so different. I'm definitely so
different. Hold me back a year. Like, I don't want to, I'm not ready to adult yet. Sorry, guys. Just now.
Yeah, I just, and so, I mean, my circumstances were weird. Weird. Like, I mean, and this is just not to bring in anything too deep. More so just a background thing. I served a mission, mission trip to Honduras. I was in Honduras for 2 years, right out of high school. Woo! That was wild, let me tell you. That was something I absolutely had no preparation for. And then the hard wall I had to experience getting back to the United States, and as a native, right, as a born American, you know, coming back to the United States and trying to readapt to circumstances I always had. I'm not going to lie. I still hate shoes. I hate shoes. I can't stand shoes. I have to feel the ground on my feet because that's how it was in Honduras. And then when you come back here, everyone's wearing shoes and you're like, man, you really don't know what it's like. You ever stepped on a nail a lot? Anyways. So the whole thing is like when I came back to the United States, I didn't have any I don't think people really understood it because everything was so different. Everything was so new to me again. And before, you know, circumstance. And I find myself in video games to help express that strangeness and express that sense of like I don't belong. And tell me if that's not the most important aspect of being an adventurer in Final Fantasy 14. You're a stranger helping other people. Like that's what I did for 2 years. Like it really spoke to me when I first started playing. So
you have to wear shoes though, otherwise your gear score is too low.
No, you have to wear shoes. It's part of the gear, but still, like I don't like shoes. It's a weird thing that I don't think it's hard to really describe, but that's something you only get by leaving the United States, you know?
So the next thing is the world as it currently is. We currently have the COVID-19 epidemic. You know, everybody's in a, I'm not going to say like a dark place necessarily, but we are not in the best place right now. And of course,
it's different.
To add to that, it's politically tense as well. You have elections coming up. You have a lot of people expressing a lot of things. There's, you know, insults being thrown around. There's, I'm not even going to get started on what is going on in the UK right now. I'm just going to ignore that. That's like, we let all of the cats out of the cat box and now they're just like running around all over the place, clawing everything. So It's a worrisome time for a lot of people. And we know that video game sales have been on the rise for the last couple of years. A lot more people are playing video games than ever before. And more people are taking to their PCs, their consoles, even their phones. Phone games, apps Candy are exploding. Crush. Candy Crush. Like, your Karen's playing Candy Crush. And is there a correlation between the two? Do we think that? Do we think this is going to go up as, you know, as COVID? Because look at the amount of people playing Animal Crossing and connecting that during the epidemic.
Amazing. It's amazing. The burst. Like, it's all I see on Twitter. And I don't have a Switch, you know? I don't play. I've never played an Animal Crossing. I don't have. It's not that I find it bad or anything. I just never experienced that side of the
world. We don't need to play
because
you have Twitter.
Yeah. But no, like, I mean, yeah, I know. Honestly, I don't even need to play it because I get to watch everyone else do awesome things and make awesome creations. So it's pretty funny.
And for me, I think there is a correlation. I think I'm not saying people are becoming more introverted or anything. I just think video games as a medium, as, you know, to be consumed like an art form, people aren't going to galleries. They're going through all these video games and watching the stories unfold and being part of them. And, you know, with everything kind of scaring everyone, I think maybe some people do look to video games to escape. I know for me, right now is a seriously tough time. And because I have a respiratory condition, which means I'm at risk, which means, yes, I have to stay indoors. There's no going to the shops, there's no going out for walks or anything, there's no going and visiting friends, you have to be indoors. And I consume digital content so much more than I did when I could go outside. Like, it's just a product of the time for me. And I think I'm not the only one in this position. A lot of people are going to turn to video games and have been turning to them to ignore the tense political climate and, you know, COVID-19. Like I said about Animal Crossing, so many people are visiting each other in the game and spending time together that way, or playing MMOs. Because, you know, I'm playing Final Fantasy way more than I did before the epidemic hit. So I'm pretty sure there is a correlation between the two. But, you know, you guys might disagree with me on that. So I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I think the nightly queue to log into Balmung says there's a correlation.
Oh, yes.
Every day there's a queue.
It's like, this wasn't like this like a month ago, or like probably more like 2 months ago, but
last time it was crazy was when Shadowbringers first came out.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, observing the expansion and how it just drew people in so powerfully with Ishikawa's writing. It got everyone in deep, and then it started to slow down as the patches rolled out, and then this hit, and now there's a queue every day. It's almost the same amount of numbers that we were experiencing when Shadowbringers first dropped. It's interesting. You know, it's really interesting to see what's going on in the community because of it.
Yep.
That said, I think it has changed what's going on in-game. I know, at least particularly with the RP community, there's, on the various different Discords that we have, there's a lot of chatter as far as how the occurrence of RP out in the open world on Balmung has decreased. Which is kind of interesting when you think about it in terms of escapism. That even though everybody in the community wants to go and, you know, play video games and escape from what's going on in the real world, at the same time, they have a hard time, from what a lot of comments I've seen, in really getting into the whole role play aspect of, you know, telling these stories to one another. They're just kind of more concerned with just being with their friends.
Because it is a really good way to stay in touch. I mean, I know, like, a lot of my friends are in game, and I want to be spending time with them, running content, role playing, whatever, like sharing stories. But, you know, during the time when we all have to social distance, it is a social activity.
Mm-hmm. If I may, there's actually, I've been doing a lot of reading because of the social isolation, and I have a lot of books. I'm just put that out there. But there's a couple sentences in a book that I was reading yesterday as I was writing my article that I think is really relevant to the subject matter at hand. If it's cool if I share that real quick.
Yeah.
All right. So it says now, and it might be a little spicy, so just bear with me. Because the human is a social creature, they want to communicate. They find it notoriously difficult to keep a secret. In solitary confinement, they will more likely go mad. By their very nature, humans desire to share with others their good fortunes and disappointments, to tell the world of their triumph or despair. Now, what is the most active way we find, I should say, a very potent source of triumph in video games? You know, we get a chance to win, we get a chance to fight, we get the chance to put some effort, and, you know, effort as graded to your own desires, because yeah, we have savage,
we collect things,
ultimate, we have gatherers, we have crafters, they punched in restoration ranks, you know, they got the ocean fishing. You do things, you win things, you gain rewards, and you want to share it with other people. And Final Fantasy XIV gets to be both a place to achieve and share those achievements with the person standing right next to you. In less than 5 seconds, you can type and say and be like, hey, I just got this reward. Sometimes you don't even have to do that. People are so nice on this game that when they see you get an achievement in an instance, someone always tries to congratulate you. I guarantee it.
Yeah, if you level up in a dungeon, somebody is going to go grats.
I actively go out of my way to type in grats every time I see that indication, and I think that's there on purpose. Because not only does Final Fantasy give you a space to achieve and get you those triumphs that this book is talking about, but it gives you a place to share it. And that is something that can empower even the meekest person in these times. Because
a little boost.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's all it is. It's energy that you can find to keep on fighting a good fight. You know what I mean? Like, you... Oh, crap. I just think it's really important that people know that they're amazing. No matter what.
Don't cry, Crawl. You're gonna make me...
No, that's what I'm doing. I want people to know that. Because... God, if it's not hard to hear that nowadays.
It is, and especially now when everybody's socially isolated.
Everyone's isolated. Everyone doesn't get to hear those congratulations. Everyone doesn't get to hear the opportunity to succeed. And you can do that still in Final Fantasy XIV. You can do that still in all the video games. You can still do that right now as you sit in your home. You can achieve and you can share it with your best friends.
And just make new friends too.
Yeah, and make new friends too. So don't forget. Don't forget. You're always amazing. No matter what circumstance you're in, you can find a way to continue to win. No matter what you're doing. And I know video games make it easy. They make it accessible.
And I was gonna say, I don't know if they make it easy, but they definitely level the playing field.
Yeah, there's I like that you say that, because then there's the challenge in it too. It's all about the concept of being an adventurer. Let me tell you something real quick. Sorry, I really hope I'm not taking all the time. But Isildare. Does anyone remember who Isildare is? Probably butchering his name too. So
vaguely, I think I know who you're talking about.
The old Elizan man who's a member of the Scions, who's with his granddaughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was a huge part of the opening of A Realm Reborn before he kind of just became a side character that you could talk to. And he evolves with the story. He's constantly evolving with the story, which I love the dev team for giving him a continued tale, so as to say.
But yeah, he's friends with one of the older Domans, isn't he?
He becomes buddies with the Domans, and then it's super sad to see him go, but he's also super happy. And then when you go to the Enclave, that same guy, his best friend, is like, man, I can't wait to go back and get Isildare to check this out. Like, oh, it's the sweetest thing. Sweetest thing. And, I mean, it's a reflection of what we go through. But the big part of it, the reason why I brought him up, is because there's a portion right at Copperbell Mines, right before you start the dungeon, that he goes on this really strange, I almost want to say rant, because it's very out of place, right? His granddaughter's telling you about how those adventurers were slain by the giants, and it was because they overreached. And it's a really, it's stressful. It's scary. You're about to go into this place that these people died in, right? But what does he do? He doesn't dwell on that. He doesn't dwell on the deaths. He goes into this magnificent speech, and I'll make sure to post it on Twitter. I have the quote. I saved the quote, so I'll post it on Twitter for listeners. But he says that being an adventurer is about setting goals, preparing yourself to meet those goals, and gaining the sensation of success for accomplishing them. And then he's like, I see a light in you. I see a light in you, and you can do this. Like, he doesn't dwell on death. He tells you, adventurers, this is the adventurer life. You have to set goals. You have to keep setting goals. You have to keep beating those goals. And then you have to, you gain the power from that. And he sends you on your way with those words before you fight the giants. And I mean, I love it. And if that's not super relevant now for us, in today's world, right now, as it stands, we need to set the goals. We need to get those goals. We need to beat those goals, support each other in the beating of these goals, and feel the potency that comes from achieving those dreams of yours. And Final Fantasy XIV has several avenues for you to achieve those dreams. Even if you don't play the game, even if you don't do anything mechanical, the RPers, the story writers, achieve goals by being able to tell stories, by being able to reach certain story hooks and plot points that they were designed to do. That this game has so much potential. And that's just one of several thousands out there. So,
What about you, Till? Do you think there's a correlation? Because all the signs are pointing to yes, but you could have a different opinion. You could have a spicy hot take.
Way to make me sound like I'm on the spot, but I'm not.
No,
you don't have to have a spicy take.
We value all opinions. We value all opinions. This is a discussion, so.
So in a way, yeah, there is a little bit of a correlation, because you could see everybody actually, and Amantois is one of the preferred servers, yet we have a queue time now. Explain that one. I have no idea.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Nice.
But you guys kind of quietly sit in your own lane over in your corner. You don't bother by too many people, but you guys have a queue now?
Yeah, ooh. There's a queue. It's usually around the 30s, and I mean, the highest I've seen is up in the 70s, and that's like at prime time. Yeah, 70s. Ooh. Baby server.
Get that? I think all the signs point to yes. So what Crow is saying rolls neatly into our next subject of discussion, which is self-suppression and self-expansion. And they're two different forms of escapism. They are very, very different. To explain what self-suppression and self-expansion is, and Dylan, you might want to correct me on this because I may get this wrong, but self-suppression is when you are actively ignoring a part of yourself or something in your direct environment that is affecting you. And then self-expansion is, you know, you are bettering yourself and trying to escape yourself by doing something better. Trying to, you know, like with the achievements and with doing Savage, like, you know, you feel better about it because you've achieved something. So you're expanding your skill set almost, or feeling like you expand your skill set. You feel like you're doing better in the game, or you feel like you're doing better in general if you do something good in game versus in real life. And if we look at our habits as people, like the four of us, you know, what category do we think we fall under? Is it one of the two? Is it both? Did you transition from one form of escapism to another later on in life? Have you gone, you know, have you bounced between the two? Does the time like affect anything? Has it changed now?
Go ahead.
Nope. After you.
So I can say, I read that question. I thought about it, and I can honestly say to everyone here and our listeners that I feel like I transitioned at one point. That I started Final Fantasy XIV as a form of self-suppression. Primarily when I first started playing, I had already moved several times, kind of like what Dylan was saying. I moved several times. I was tired. I was tired of moving. I was tired of the stress from that. I don't feel ashamed in saying this, but just a year prior to me starting the game, I was in rehab. I was in rehab for a week, and it's not an easy thing. It really isn't. It's a very hard thing to think about and to get over and to just really make it a part of yourself, because you know that at the time you needed it, right? And you still don't need it. And just all those things, like, I was driven in the corners a lot in 2015. And one of the people I was living with at the time before I moved from them was selling his PlayStation 3, and he offered it to me really, really cheap. Like, and bear in mind, at the time, I considered consoles an impossible expense because I didn't have a very stable job, and I really wanted to play these games, but I couldn't afford any of them.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
I was broke, okay? Like, you know, I was broke during this time as well, and moving all the time and everything, and he was selling this PS3 for cheap, and I don't know what compelled me to say yes, but I did. I was like, this is my chance to take a step forward away from the usual, right? And upon starting up the game, one of the first things I saw was the Heavensward trailer in the PlayStation Network. And once again, bear in mind, it's my first time in an online store at all. I've never done any of this online shopping, none of this, you know, check out the DLCs. I didn't know what DLC stood for. I had to look it up. Like, yeah, it was a very different time for me. But I opened up Heavensward, and I saw a 30-day free trial, and I was like, eh, why not? That trailer was cool. That music was good, and I liked the dragon design. So, boom. Made a character, and I spent so much time in Final Fantasy XIV. There was a point, and this was still during the time I was moving around, because I ended up having to move again after creating an account. And I remember a dark time where I'd wake up, go to work, come home, play Final Fantasy XIV, until the precise moment I needed to fall asleep to get up again for work. Go to work, come back home, play Final Fantasy XIV, go to sleep.
Repeat.
I did that for weeks. And I'm not going to say that's healthy. I personally don't think it is. But what it ended up doing for me was giving me a chance to dig the hole, I suppose, is for lack of words to say it, and get comfortable in the soil. Because based on my constant playing, and it started to slow down as I ended up finding a better place to live. It started to slow down based on my surroundings and my environment. I went to FanFest. I went to FanFest 2016, and I loved it. It was such a good time. I was surrounded by so many people from all over the world, from any culture you can think of, any background, any gender, any sexuality, all of it. Every single label in society had a representative at FanFest. And I witnessed this all at the same time. And my lizard brain at the time didn't really understand what was going on, but that's when I could say I fell in love with Final Fantasy. That's when I decided to make it an actual part of my life. And from that step forward, I started to express, I started to expand, and Final Fantasy XIV no longer became a coping mechanism. It became a launching point. And from FanFest, I can mark it specifically, from FanFest onward, I started getting into content. I started writing articles. I started wanting to deepen myself in the lore. I bought the lore book at the time, so I had that easy access. And I kept diving deep, 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 but in healthier ways of expression.
Yeah, so you definitely went from suppression to expansion rather than...
And I write articles. I'm on amazing podcasts with amazing people talking about what I love. You know what I mean? Like, none of this probably would have been possible back then if I stayed in the hole. But because I let myself get comfortable and I went to FanFest and then I thought about how much power there was in this game, that's when I was allowed to expand and make it into a lifestyle rather than an addiction.
Tell Dylan, what about you guys? Or do you guys want to go last?
I'll go last. Not that there's anything dark or anything like that. It's just, I'll go last this time.
Okay. Probably expansion, because I would say out in the real world, scary, cold, unforgiving place that it is.
Oh, Lord.
I can tend to be a lot shyer, and I would say just, you know, various things in my past, I'm not really good with physical contact. So the game and actually that culture allows me to actually have a lot of friendships and stuff like that and connections that would be a lot more difficult for me in person. So in that, I mean, it definitely has helped expand that, but more so it's expanded my understanding of the world because, you know, like Crow has said, you go and especially if you go to FanFest, like you meet so many different people from so many different walks of life, you know, races, creeds, colors, sexuality, what have you. So that's kind of really wonderful too. And it's people that you wouldn't normally get to actually meet. I think as far as I'm trying to say, I know for a lot of other people, it also has, especially like within the RP community, has been very expansionist because people are allowed to kind of safely explore certain types of personalities or aspects of their own personality that maybe they weren't comfortable to explore, you know, outside of that context. I know that actually a couple of years ago, I wrote a research and wrote an article about the LGBTQ community in Final Fantasy XIV and just how, you know, for me, like, you know, outside looking in, it seems like, that we have such a strong LGBTQ community in this game. And I was curious as to why that was. And once I kind of got talking to some people, and especially like a particular friend of mine who kind of answered some questions for me, I asked the question is like, you know, you're a role player. Like, how, did that actually ever help facilitate, you know, you being able to express yourself as you truly feel that you are? And they told me, yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, before I was able to even actually kind of admit this is who I am, I was able to explore that through role play. And I was able to kind of like safely become comfortable with those aspects of myself. So that way, when I went to actually kind of come out to my friends and family, I knew for certain who I was. So that's like something that I actually thought was really interesting.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I can think about it real quick, thinking about when I've RP'd, I've had an opportunity to explore feelings and emotions that are otherwise considered pariah in today's society. You know, things that people just don't refuse to try to understand. And when you do so in RP, it's like a playground, I suppose. I know that sounds terrible, but you have to think about an idea of experimentation and being able to stretch out first. And once again, like I said with before FanFest, you know, dig the hole and get comfortable with the soil before you start to grow, you know, before you start to grow into something strong. So
Tilp said it wasn't going to get dark for him, so I'm going to be the I'm going to bring the darkness for this.
The shadow, bring the shadow.
I am the shadow bringer for this one, unfortunately. My gaming experiences started out as massive self-suppression. I have no shame in admitting that I am a survivor of sexual and domestic abuse, and it started out in Neverwinter Nights. I started role-playing there as a way to escape this sad, lonely teenager that felt isolated from the world. I covered myself in this warm, comfy blanket, surrounded by all of these new people, the friends that I still have to this day. I surrounded myself in this fantastical world written by amazing writers filled with all these characters that were living and breathing because they were played by real people. And I just absorbed myself in it. And I forgot her. I was able to forget her. But also, as time went on, like you said, Dylan, I was able to express certain aspects of my trauma through my characters, not in any like huge way or anything that would, you know, be triggering for me, but in a way that made it so that I could mend and heal. And there are still aspects in my characters today that have things like that. One of my characters, Lexi, she has body dysmorphia. She doesn't like looking at herself in the mirror. I hate myself in the mirror. Like, I hate it. I feel like my features are lopsided, and that's a thing that I'm having to deal with. Like, that's a side effect of my trauma of having PTSD and, you know, severe social anxiety. Like, I can get comfortable with these things, like you said, Crow, like dig the hole and get comfy in the soil. I have been able to, through video games, become more comfortable with who I am. So I have gone from that terrible, really crippling suppression to slowly expanding myself. I'm shy as hell in like social situations still, but you know, I'm starting to get there, and it's been good, really good. So yeah, that's my sad little bit over.
I think to the listeners, you know, this is just, we're here for you. So we all have our stories. So if you don't think that we understand, trust me, we really do. So.
All right, Tel. Are you gonna save the podcast? Save it.
Save it. I ain't a hero. I'm just.
Yes, you are. You're a warrior.
Become what you must.
I'm just a derp later here trying to do what I do best, and that's just being me.
Lambda's in our own way.
I know. So, in a way, I honestly cannot tell you whether I am self-expansion or self-suppression, because there will be times where I'm outgoing, trying new things without even second-guessing or even doubting myself. Then there's days that I just completely clam up and don't even realize that, you know, people around me are being affected by that. And I mean, it was pointed out to me today at work that, you know, because I've been in isolation for the last 2 weeks because I had symptoms, and they're like, well, you can't come to work because you could be a potential carrier, so you can't come to work. Yeah. So, you know, and that's all because a family member was exposed. I had to take them, and then, you know, I started showing signs anyways. And they're just like, what happened to you? And it's like, I don't know. I just kind of didn't really talk to anybody, and no one wanted to come talk to me. So it was kind of one of those balancing scales that just kind of unfortunately went to one side. But then, you know, after I got off work, one thing I've been trying to do is get back into parkour, and boom, instantly walked out, just did all my stuff that I was doing way back in the day, and, you know, didn't even self-doubt myself on anything like that. And when people came by and kind of watched, I didn't, you know, shy up or anything like that. I just kept going and doing what I felt was natural.
Wait, okay.
You're a dragoon in real life.
Wait, hold up. What? You do parkour?
I do parkour.
That's so cool. Hello?
You're a dragoon in real life. This is ridiculous.
Dude, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Didn't you notice that it was obvious? Because I know you pointed it out. I was standing with one leg on my other leg, just standing there. And you're like, why are you doing that, Tilt?
It didn't click. I mean, look, okay, I think parkour, I think Assassin's Creed, okay? So I'm imagining Tilt in the full, you know, Assassin's garb, just running on the rooftops, being just stupendous in everything he does. So come on, like, yeah, I didn't connect that to the leg thing, okay? Like,
okay. Well, yeah, the self-balance with the leg thing.
Everyone needs to imagine Tilp in an assassin's robe. I refuse to allow it otherwise.
This is the law signed
by the Asians. He is an assassin.
I have to be fair. I am imagining it, but then I'm imagining him like running right smack face first into a wall.
Hey, everyone's got to learn somewhere. So
yeah, that is true. There is one thing I will admit this, and Serena already knows this. There is a video floating around on the internet of me trying to do Final Fantasy 14 actions, you know, like the job actions, if you take the effects away and all that.
Oh,
I was trying to do some of the rogue slash.
Wait, not rogue.
The rogue man.
Yep.
Rogue ninja. I saw. Okay. There was actually, that's something that I saw on Tumblr ages ago. During my heavy role-playing era, I frequented Tumblr a lot, and there was a individual, sucks because I can't remember their name or their tag or anything, but they were doing animations of Dragoon actions.
Yep, and that was the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, being able to watch that, like genuinely watching this person perform the action in real life, gave me the potency to write it. I was able to describe quite accurately how these attacks worked in my writing in character because this individual was going out and acting it. So that's actually a really cool way of self-expression, I would say, a very self-expansionist point of Final Fantasy 14 is acting the actions in real life and giving people that kind of source vision so they can describe it better.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And, so to continue the story, I was doing it at one of the river lakes by my place, and you know, people walk their dogs all the time. And I went to do what was considered a V twist almost, and I slipped on poo and went face first.
No.
So if you guys can find the video, because I have since taken the video down, but I know other people have re-uploaded it.
Never forgets.
Oh, yeah. Plus, you know, the grass is all green, and it was a higher grass, so you can't really tell that there was stuff there until you actually hit it.
Right.
Oh, man.
So, but with
what
with
a
that,
series of unfortunate events.
Right. with that in our heads, though, like, people, like, really getting into the game and kind of, like, doing creative stuff out of it and, you know, expanding that way, like, in terms of Final Fantasy XIV and other MMOs like it, so WoW or, I don't know, I'm not really, like, super knowledgeable on what MMOs are these days, other than those two, because they're just the most prolific. What do we feel makes them this attractive option for either form of escapism? Like, what makes them so attractive? Is it the writing? Is it the music? Is it being able to achieve what you cannot in real life? Because I play Dragoon, I'm just like, oh, I can backflip now. I can't do that in real life. I can't backflip my way out of awkward social situations like a Dragoon can, but I can in game.
All right, I'm going to slowly just go this way right now. So I'll take the first helm on this. So, you know, with Final Fantasy, obviously it's the gameplay, the story, everybody talking about it, especially reviewers, and how if you look at the Metascore, it just went up, and then we had to slide down with Stormblood, and then came back up with Shadowbringers. You know, just
stars, those
just people, yeah, so people nice. Seeing that, and just like, oh, this could be potentially good. With World of Warcraft, it was more cartoonish, and you know. Obviously, it came from an era where graphics weren't really the best, but they made do with what they could. And I'm not a person that played World of Warcraft. I don't know the story, but I know most of the time out of what it was, you know, as Crowa talked, the fulfillment of actually being good at something that you cannot in real life. So there was my friends that were healers and tanks. They played World of Warcraft because they could do that stuff and they can help protect people or heal people. And, you know, in real life, they can't really do much because they work behind a desk job and that's how they felt.
It allows you to be a hero when you can't really be in real life.
Such a powerful sentiment.
It is a powerful statement to make.
I love being a tank. I love tanking so much. You don't understand how the joy I get when I take a tank buster to the face, because then I know no one else is going to take it. And that really gets me going sometimes. Like, that gets me going forward sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
What about you, Dylan? What do you think? Do you think escaping to other worlds is healthy? Like, what do you think makes it attractive? Is it everything? And is Final Fantasy XIV just a package at Christmas?
I have been playing Final Fantasy since I actually one year got both bronchitis and mono at the same time. Ooh. And I was shut inside for I think like a so this is actually kind of quarantine part two for me in a way, because I was shut inside for probably like a month or so, and I had to stay in bed all day. So my mom actually got me, I can't remember whatever the game system was at the time, and I was playing like an old copy of, I think it was Final Fantasy V, someone with Cecil and Kane, because I just
that's four.
Okay. Yeah, and I just, like, fell in love with it up until I had to, like, I think it was right after, like, I did the Paladin trial with Cecil, and you have to fight the Sage, and he kept on freaking meteoring me. At that point, I was almost like, screw this game. But no, I've always loved Final Fantasy in the entire world, so.
Funny thing is, I played that, and the spot that I gave up was a little bit after the Paladin trials. Like, I remember the part where the twins stop the walls, and then they just,
I got as far as the final boss. So,
okay, I just couldn't handle it after the twins gone.
I love four.
I think I finished it, but like at that point, like I almost went to throw out the window.
You don't understand how loud my scream was when I saw the mist dragon at the burn.
I was like, I know this guy.
And then the little quotes that were directly ripped from the game itself. You were like, right? Oh man, good stuff.
I was expecting like, oh my gosh, the burn is the land of the Espers.
Oops. Well, no. See, and check. Dang it. What?
No.
Okay. We can't talk about that.
To go on to the very, very last bit before we say goodbye to everyone. So some critics say that gamers do a massive disservice to players by thinking of games and video gaming in general as an avenue for escapism alone. Like, just that. Like, some people, you know, really think that, you know, the only reason people play games is to escape. And they think that people should do a better job of connecting games to real life to make it more identifiable for people. Does 14 have connections or anchors in the real world? Like,
can I take this one real fast?
Yes.
All right. Short answer is yes.
Yeah. Listen to our episode on Little Ladies Day and then come back to us on that question, because Final Fantasy 14 connects real life. Done and done and done. There's nothing you can say that denies that. And I'm about to get real spicy here. I think it's ignorant to think that video games don't connect to real life, because art and expression are reflections of real life. Everything we do and everything we make is an expression of what we see and feel. So trying to say that video games aren't part of real life means you're just not looking.
I think I say the dev's answer to this question was the whole Return to Evil East questline. Where essentially, like, you have this troop who made this play that was not directly speaking to an issue back in the Garlean Empire, but through art was speaking about an issue that was going on back in the Garlean Empire.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was kind of like,
Matsuno, you genius.
there was many layers to that whole thing there. And I think that in itself is kind of an answer to, you know, do video games actually connect to real life? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, they do on many levels. I mean, all of the game stories, and I've heard it said a lot about Final Fantasy. There's so many things in Final Fantasy throughout all the different games that's not exactly original. Titan, Odin, all of these other different characters. These are characters
that are mythologies, yeah.
Yeah, they're borrowed from history, from mythology. A lot of the stories, whether it be the Four Lords or it be, you know, the Garlean Empire itself. I mean, just so many different things are parables of or parodies of stories that come from many different cultures. So, I mean, yeah. I've learned some things about actually world history from Final Fantasy I've had to Google otherwise.
Plenty of times. I've had to Google plenty of times because of Final Fantasy. So
ask how many people so nowadays know about Utopia.
Yeah, I have 3 copies of the book because of Final Fantasy. I'm not. Yeah, like I bought 3 different translations. Like, Final Fantasy, what are you doing to me?
I want to bring up one point. I don't like the whole take that MMOs and video games in general are just there to escape. I think they are there to tell a story, but also with 14, it connects back to FanFest, that real feeling of community that you have out in the real world, friendships, romances. I mean, I met my husband in this game.
I met my girlfriend through Final Fantasy.
I created a real world connection with this person. Dylan, I met you through an MMO.
Not Final Fantasy, but you know, nothing can be perfect, okay?
But it fosters real world connections. It's not just about escaping, it's about forging bonds with other people and creating friendships. Some of those that can last lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. And I really, really want to highlight as a quick note for the listeners. Please, please, please watch the Developer Diaries that just came out. The 5 episodes on the making of Shadowbringers. If you're still questioning in your heart whether or not, you know, Final Fantasy 14 is bad for you, or, you know, the idea of balance and things like that, watch those Developer Diaries. Just watch those and think about the questions we went over today and think about what they mean to you. And watch those videos and find the answers in your own heart. And I'm telling you, at least for me, those Developer Diaries really, really ran home and taught me that these people are trying to give us a way to succeed and to excel. So watch them. They're great.
Watch it. Nathan, go on.
Uncle Crow says so.
Another law. It's another law set by the Asians. Watch the Developer Diaries, please.
So before we go home, do you have anything for the MMO detractors who think they're about nothing but escaping and like scantily clad cat girls?
No, because I don't want to go back to that topic that we had back at FanFest of 2018.
That's spicy. I can spend a whole episode on that. Let's
Too spicy.
Too spicy for me.
Real fast. I just remembered Dad of Light.
Oh, yes.
Watch that too. Please watch that too. If you're still asking yourself if escapism is bad or good, watch Dad of Light, please.
With a box of tissues.
Oh yes, you will cry.
You will need several. What? Oh my god.
Wait. Are we talking about the movie or are we talking about the series? Because there is two.
The one on Netflix. The one on Netflix. Because that's the one that's available to us right now. That one made me cry. So. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I know the original episodes. Ugh. That is precisely why we play Final Fantasy 14. Guaranteed.
Yep. So that's gonna be it for today, guys. Thank you for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it.
Don't cry.
I'm not quiet.
I'm not crying.
I got my tears out, so I'm good.
Stuff in my eyes.
It's a horrible day to rain.
Nice.
Stop
making that quote. It hurts every time. I will never get over it. I will never get over it.
Should I feel bad because I didn't even get like a little sniffly?
I mean, some people experience it differently. I know I cried when that happened. So
I pinched my cheeks and prepared.
So listeners, tell us what you guys think of this. We are on Twitter. You guys could chat with us there, and you can definitely let us know. Crow is going to be manning the helm on that. Also, we're going to start posting a couple other suggestions for things to watch as, you know, times are going quietly into the quietness.
Let's share some stuff that we love.
Yeah. So
Final Fantasy stuff.
Yes. So thank you guys one last time for tuning in. hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode of Beyond Eorzea. And until next time, guys, we wish you all a wonderful eve.
Bye.
Bye.
Toodles.